98.9 FM Madison and WORTFM.org or on the app. And now stay tuned for Salamat.
The WORT Board of Directors will hold its regularly scheduled meeting on Wednesday, April 16th at 6 p.m. in person at the station, 118 South Bedford Street. The public is welcome to attend. Meeting attendance is also available via Zoom. For information on how to attend this meeting virtually, please email president@wardfm.org.
السلام عليكم.
طب
اس السلام عليكم.
اس
السلام عليكم.
طب
اس السلام عليكم. السلام عليكم. السلام عليكم.
السلام عليكم.
In Arabic, أعطوا الأجير أجره قبل أن يجف عرقه.
Translation: give the laborer his wages before his sweat dries.
This is actually one of the teachings of the Prophet Muhammad, may God bless him and grant him peace, who instructed his young Islamic nation to respect the rights of the worker by paying him his wages without a delay or procrastination. This is, you know, before his sweat dries is a metaphor. Mm-hmm. It could be a bookkeeper who they typically shed no sweat or tears when they declare you bankrupt.
Yeah, makes sense. If you owe somebody something, satisfy your obligation, don't sit on it.
Yeah, and it's prior to the Prophet mentioning that, it is also mentioned in the Quran that this is part of a justice. So a worker, an employee, or servant may perform a service or work in exchange for food, drink, or clothing, or maybe, you know, they perform the wage after a prior agreement to pay when the work is done. So and even if you disagree with the quality of the work, you are to pay them and then later negotiate the delivery of such, and that's considered more just. So we were commanded by the mighty book, by Allah, Al-Kabir, God Almighty had recommended for humans to do this and condemned injustice in any form. And those wrongdoers, there is no help. No one is going to assist them come judgment day. So beware of injustice. For injustice will be darkness on the day of resurrection. This is not the day of the resurrection of Jesus. This is the individual resurrection when we all are brought forth. Not the physical body, but something.
So is this analogous to judgment day?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's right. I can't even think. To my judgment day, boy, have I done a lot of stuff that will be darkness. Ooh, on my resurrection.
Are we going to be revealing Sabi's deep, dark secrets tonight on Salamat?
I'm confessing to our listener. sit down, sir, madam. Whoever you are there, you might want to take a seat. And maybe a bucket of popcorn, a large one, because I have a few things to fess up.
So you've done some things both nefarious and potentially entertaining.
Yeah. Well, when you say entertaining, not to he who receives the lashes, it is for he who...
No. For watching. The entertainment of the rest of us.
Yes. Entertainment value at any price.
Watching you receive your wages before your sweat dries.
Yeah. Yeah.
Your just compensation. For mischief accomplished.
Yeah, speaking of mischief, what's going on here?
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Salamat, your weekly tour of Arab and Arab-American news, culture, issues, art, music. occasionally food, and whatever other shenanigans we get up to in the next 25 minutes now that we have remaining.
Theological wisdom. That was Rowan Atallah, translator extraordinaire. We promise to reward you before you breathe a sigh of relief, the sigh of relief when Salamat is over within that half hour. We promised to reward you.
Shouldn't we leave people hungering for more rather than sighing with relief that it's over?
It depends on you, who you ask.
I see.
You know, we've been accused of a bunch of things. And the least of them is that the show is full of shenanigans. There's very little journalism. But we never promised journalism. I don't recall ever saying, I am a journalist.
So it's nice that you're shielding me from these criticisms, I have to say, because none of that's reached my ears.
Yeah. Oh, they come around.
Except from you.
I think you've been accused of being an anti-Semite, but that term, as we will discuss later in the show,
could
mean anything.
Did you have an irate listener get in touch with you?
We get occasional irate or urate. Somebody's rating us on this beautiful 13th day of April. April, she's flying by fast. Tax day, Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
So if you haven't filed your taxes,
you might need to file for an extension.
That's easier.
Although I hear they're reducing staff at the IRS along with many other federal institutions.
Yeah,
so
but listen, Rowan,
hard to say what's going to happen there.
I'm not saying anything, but with a last name like Atallah, you might get audited number one on the on the list with that Arab last name.
Well, we're considered white, right? According to the census?
Not the name. It sounds pretty as foreign as Atallah can get.
So, been an eventful week.
Oh, yeah. Actually, it's also the 15th day of... Did I finish the calendar?
You did not.
Of Shawwal.
That's okay.
In the year 1446 after Hijrah, for those of you keeping track.
So some of the nationwide shenanigans have even reached the UW Madison campus.
Yeah,
protesters gathered yesterday at UW Madison's Library Mall to protest against the Trump administration taking away student visas on college campuses. As of yesterday, more than two dozen current or former students at UW Madison have had their visas revoked. In total, the government has canceled visas for 40 students and former students in the universities of Wisconsin system. Protesters marched up to the top of Bascom Hill to advocate for maintaining the rights of students affected. Advocates like Maria Kutsia from the Madison branch of the Party for Socialism and Liberation are calling upon the university to protect the affected students by offering them support and help. Advocates say that Saturday's protest is the first of many demanding the university protect its students. UW-Madison has said it played no role in the termination of student visas. And in their statement, one of the things they said was international students, faculty, and staff are important members of the UW-Madison community, and the university deeply values their presence. That, I guess, is the most positive thing that they said in their statement.
Well, you know, the university understands the value of funding. And I also heard that there is a bunch of research funding, particularly research that has been supported, has supported research on this campus related to mental health of LGBTs, some stem cell research, a lot of the right wing, what you call hot button, hot topic buttons, hot buttons, you know, them buttons.
Yep.
If you are involved in any research related to some things that the Mr. Trump's administration feels like it's a great place to cut funding so they can feed another beast with that money, they have reduced or cut much of the research funding that's coming to UW. So the university may be caught between those two relatively competing sources of continuous feeding of the research. One of them is our grants and gifts by people who are well connected to the propaganda machine that is owned by AIPAC,
yes,
which owns domestic and foreign American policy. So if somebody who's a funder who owns or has control of a grant or some kind of an endowment that is funding the university, and here the university president is caught between these, the providing a safe place for thoughts and ideas, and not labeling anything, any criticism of the state of Israel's genocidal acts in Palestine as anti-Semitic, versus losing that money from the Zionist base, from the Zionist funds, mm-hmm. the Zionist purse, or from the Trumpist purse.
Right.
So you know, you're losing one or the other.
So a UW researcher who focuses on immigration research by the name of Sarah McKinnon said, this is a really unprecedented situation that so many students in the UW system and across the U.S. have received a message of termination or revocation of their visa, and for the most part, without an explanation of why. The UW-Madison spokesperson said that the university played no role in the terminations, as I said, and that they don't have any information on the reasons. But McKinnon said some students across the U.S. were targeted for involvement in pro-Palestinian protests, which, of course, we've already mm-hmm. seen in mm-hmm. cases we've discussed of Mahmoud Khalil and Rumeysa Ozturk and several others. So this is what is cited. Apparently, some of the cancellations, though, are not. They're just looking for convictions or even citations, because in some cases, traffic violations were given as the reason behind the visa cancellations. She also said, I think what we're seeing in this current moment is also the administration using really minor brushes with law enforcement, traffic stops, running a red light, etc., as the basis to suggest that a student's visa may be terminated without giving them an explanation. She believes some uncertainty may fade as more legal challenges arise. She went on to say, I think we're probably going to see a number of challenges in the court. Well, we've seen that in some of the, Mahmoud Khalil and Rumeysa Ozturk's case as well. And then from that, we'll start to see maybe some clarity on what some of these terms mean. What it means to be out of compliance, what are the elements that might make one vulnerable to being kind of in this threatened status or out of compliance. And a total across the country of more than 600 student visas have been revoked recently.
And now, I guess wearing the keffiyeh around your shoulders is going to be considered supportive terrorism. Therefore, I'm revoking your student application if you wear one on campus. We make fun of it here, mm-hmm. But I've seen it in radio and television interviews where the guest is wearing a keffiyeh and mm-hmm. the ultra Zionist interviewer, supposedly a journalist, says, why are you wearing that to the interview?
Right.
Like that, as in you're declaring support for Hamas if you're wearing a keffiyeh.
Right.
Which, if you look at the history of it, it became the symbol of resistance of the Palestinians against their oppressor, because Palestinians need a symbolic gesture to rally the troops around, the troops in the sense supporters. This was the one thing that came up, in addition to the watermelon slice, which is also a sign of defiance, because we were refused to fly the Palestinian flag, because to those who deny the presence of Palestine and want to remove our humanity by stripping us of any symbol of civilization and just call us animals, that watermelon is in defiance of that attempt.
So speaking of wearing
watermelon,
a keffiyeh.
Yeah. I'm not wearing
or, you know, carrying around a slice of watermelon. Actually, one of the items we have on our community calendar, Students for Justice in Palestine at UW-Madison are, this upcoming week is UW Against Apartheid Week. This runs from tomorrow through the 18th. There are several events that you can attend and participate in. Tomorrow, Monday, from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m., there's a mock apartheid wall demonstration at UW Library Mall. Tuesday, April 15th, also tax day, wear your keffiyeh all day on campus. I'll be...
That's like putting on a bullseye on your forehead.
Thursday the 17th, there will be a film shown on campus called The Time That Remains. It's being shown at MSC Classroom from 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. And then Friday, April 18th, again at the Library Mall, We Are All Palestinians Cultural Night from 4 p.m. to 8 p.m. on Library Mall.
The Michigan Supreme Court ruled that the smell of marijuana is no longer legal grounds for search. Patchouli, on the other hand, if you smell like it, they want to keep your right to refuse such abuse and arrest such violation.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just reading the Arab American News. I don't know why the Arab Americans were too concerned about the smell of marijuana. But in reality, the cops don't need that. And I personally experienced illegal search right after 9/11. Because I was operating a vehicle in Texas while Palestinian Arab Muslim.
How do you think they figured that out?
Well, they just pulled me over because I was going a mile over the speed limit with a Wisconsin license plate. They initially said, "Oh, you're speeding," and then he proceeded to sniff the car, like thinking we're just too stoned because we're only going a couple miles above the speed limit. Because you know the people in Texas go crazy speed-wise. So we weren't going 80 in a 55-mile zone. We were going 57. I said, not speeding.
Oh.
But that in itself is an entire show. My infamous trip to Texas, also known as a whole other country.
This is just more from Savvy's history with law enforcement.
No. There was a deliberate advertising campaign that called Texas, it's like a whole other country.
Do
you remember that campaign?
I just, you know, earlier we were talking
about... Do you know why they use that? Because it is. It's Mexico.
It is. Well...
We crossed the border.
I think there are some Texans who might take issue with that description. But.
They're Mexicans then.
So, interestingly enough, you know, there has been, of course, a lot of speculation swirling around amongst concerned people about when federal scrutiny is going to begin affecting U.S. citizens. And in fact, a Dearborn attorney was detained at Detroit Metro Airport after family vacation, and Customs and Border Patrol questioned him about clients and attempted to seize his phone, which, you know, if you know anything about lawyering, the whole attorney-client privilege thing, that's a pretty big deal. So a brief family vacation turned into a harrowing experience for this gentleman from Dearborn. Amir Makhled, who's 38, federal agents detained him at Detroit Metropolitan Airport upon his return from the Dominican Republic. He specializes in criminal defense and civil rights cases, and he was subjected to extensive questioning and faced demands to surrender his mobile phone, which he refused. Notably, he is representing a student charged following a pro-Palestinian protest at the University of Michigan last fall. Returning from the five-day spring break in Punta Cana with his wife and two daughters, he arrived at Detroit Metro Airport 7 p.m. This is last Sunday. While his family proceeded through passport control without issue, he himself was flagged and overheard an agent inquiring about the presence of the Tactical Terrorism Response Team. He was then escorted to a small interrogation room where two agents in civilian clothes questioned him about his legal practice and clients. They demanded access to his mobile phone, which he declined, citing attorney-client privilege and confidential information contained therein. So this apparently went on for about 90 minutes, and he permitted them eventually to view his contact list, but provided no further details about his clients, and he was eventually released without further incident. But the detention follows a memorandum issued on March 22nd by President Trump to the Departments of Justice and Homeland Security, urging law enforcement agencies to seek penalties against attorneys contributing to, quote, rampant fraud and frivolous claims, end quote, in the immigration system. And although Makhled does not practice immigration law, he expressed concern over policies targeting legal professionals.
Yes, and the ACLU had recommended in their letter looking at the students being removed that students and their families If you have any issues, contact immigration attorney for assistance and closely monitor your email for any communication from U.S. Department of Homeland Security and the school. And you can find an immigration attorney at AILA Alpha India Lima Alpha, Lima Alpha WYER. So AILALawyer.com. And you can learn more about student visas in particular. In the case of the attorney, he was smart enough to reply that the government has no right to take his phone. And
right.
And they're typically looking at posts you share on social media.
Right.
The emails right. and texts that are with certain words coming in, because their accusation, their go-to reason for holding you is supporting Hamas. And that, according to them, could take any shape or form.
Right.
So depending on the interpretation of such support, yeah, I agree with some posts that are put up online that say Hamas is an attempt to highlight the injustice committed against the Palestinians. They're a resistance movement by the people who are being oppressed. Not all of them are Hamas. Not all Palestinians agree with Hamas, but the majority of Palestinians agree with the fact that they're being unjustly treated by an occupation force that is brutal and denying them. The Palestinians are the victims here. They're being denied their human rights. They're being denied access to their home, ancestral homeland. They're being denied to equal protection under the law. And the state of Israel, which, if you think about it, the West Bank with the occupation of Israel, there's no such thing as Palestine. The Israelis will work really hard on preventing that from ever happening, regardless of Portugal and Spain and now possibly France recognizing Palestine. They don't care.
No, they don't.
The Israelis don't care as long as Mama, Daddy, USA keeps vetoing any international law or suggestion that they stop doing that. They'll continue doing that.
With
the ultimate goal of splitting up the Middle East and having supremacy, a wider range of supremacy. They already have supremacy, and they think they are entitled to that by God and Palestine and beyond. And now the new borders of the greater Israel borders are now being looked at by many people who said, no, that's not going to happen. But it's been in the making for the last 7 decades. So wake up and smell the kanafa, falafel,
sure,
with some coffee.
Coffee.
What do you like with your coffee?
What a piece of kanafa. Like my coffee.
Kanafa.
I usually just drink it black while I'm trying to bring my consciousness online for work.
How rustic of you!
I I just happen to be that way. There is another upcoming event that I think listeners might be interested in. This is coming from the UW Middle East Studies Department, taking place at the Pyle Center on April 21st from 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. The event is called Campus Speech, Antisemitism, and Islamophobia. So the abstract for the event is that universities are now at the center of societal debates about anti-Semitism, Islamophobia, and freedom of expression, and increasingly voicing support for Palestinians is cast as anti-Semitism or as a form of support for terrorism. So this is a panel discussion examining the controversy from a critical perspective. What are the limits of pro-Palestinian speech? What do the constraints on pro-Palestine speech on campus portend for intellectual inquiry and research more generally? The speakers are Peter Beinart, a professor of journalism and political science at the Newmark School of Journalism at CUNY in New York. He's also a fellow for the Foundation for Middle East Peace. And Sahar Aziz, distinguished professor of law and Chancellor's social justice scholar at Rutgers Law School. Again, this is April 21st from 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. at the Pyle Center on UW campus. It is free and open to the public, and refreshments will be served.
Khair. Khair, khiar. Which one? Khair is good. Khiar is cucumbers. Hey, speaking of cucumbers, food. Food
Ooh.
Is on your mind?
Yeah, hey, I'm down. I'm always down
remember
for the food,
when tahini,
food conversation.
Remember when tahini was thought to be an island somewhere, Tahiti? Most Americans in the early
80s. I've always known there was a difference between the two.
Most Americans in the early 80s had no clue what tahini is until hummus became a popular product.
Hummus? Wait, what? Wait, what just happened to the native Arabic speaker over there?
I like pronouncing it Yiddish style. But seriously, folks, tahini used to be known as something that is foreign and unknown, and later it became known as something that goes in to make the hummus, which is the garbanzo bean pate or spread, more tolerable. You know, garbanzo beans without that fatty flavor.
Right, yeah, without the tahini,
it's pointless. It's the point? Not then quite the little same. Bit of garlic and some salt and then lemon juice. There you go. There's your hummus. So tahini became well recognized by the decade that we're in.
Mm-hmm.
And it was in halawa or halva. And some Americans knew that, some didn't. They just knew it was a sweet something.
Well, if you look in the ingredients, it's kind of right there.
After sugar.
Yeah.
Sugar, yep. Halva, tahini makes halva. But you know that tahini is also used for many things in addition to the sauces and the desserts and said hummus.
I did.
You did?
Partially because we've been doing this a while.
Well,
but yes. Okay, let's continue.
Tahini is a thick, nutty flavor paste made from sesames. Toasted or not will determine whether it's mm-mm or just mm, right? Just like peanut butter. Not all peanut butter.
Which one are you saying is better?
The toasted one has more robust and well-rounded taste.
Okay, where thank you.
The bland, the lighter of the two, color-wise also, the untoasted sesame tahini is light weight and color and flavor, I believe. So it is...
I bought some of the raw stuff one time by mistake, and I was really, I'm like, no, not doing that again.
Well, the raw one... in addition to being used in hummus and baba ganoush and other fun flavors and things from around the Lebanese, Palestinian, Syrian cooking, but chicken cooked in a tahini lemon sauce is one of those recipes that people say, tahini with chicken? It's just so out there. No, it's not. Just like peanut butter, you see some peanut butter used in some East Asian chicken dishes and maybe some American savory, is it?
I've seen people crowing about like fried chicken on waffles. So tahini and chicken just doesn't seem that bad to me.
But just like peanut butter, it is versatile enough to use in that. So some cooking oil, some chicken sautéed in that cooking oil. Chopped onion goes on top of that. Garlic, chopped fresh cilantro, chopped peppers, fresh or not, it doesn't matter. A hint of water and some tahini that makes the sauce. You salt it to taste and you add it to the dish. As soon as everything is cooked in that lemony tahini sauce, you add some fresh parsley and it's called, not surprisingly, jajba tahini.
Not surprisingly. So for the translation, that is chicken with tahini.
Dajaj is the Arabic word for chicken in particular. Tavuk in Turkish, it means bird. So chicken and tahini is a dish, one of those dishes that you can add potato to, you can add peas, there are other things that are added to it. But the foundation is pretty much like a lemon tahini sauce. And don't knock it till you try it. I mean, don't love it till you try it.
I'm not. I mean, almost always the conversation around the food segment, I wind up leaving the station hungry, with the possible exception of the time we talked about okra.
You're not a fan.
Not generally, no. It's like hair and slime in vegetable form.
Next week, we'll talk about tricks how to reduce the slime in your okra dish, because there are ways of doing that. Save that lamb shoulder for next week. We're going to do lamb shoulder and... with okra. Ooh. Yeah, okra and tomato sauce.
Well, okay.
Okra is approaching, in the spring you can pick them baby okras. Those are the best kind to get.
If you made it, I would absolutely eat it.
We can't do that on here. Can we do that on the air?
I'm not saying on the air.
Okay. I'll bring a batch.
Ladies and gentlemen, you have been listening to another episode of Salamat, your weekly tour of Arab and Arab-American news, culture, issues, art, music, food.
Tahiti.
Yeah, that too. And, you know, of course, whatever other shenanigans we get up to. Thank you so much for joining us. Stay tuned for the Pachyderm Parade coming up next here on WORT 89.9 FM. In the meantime, we bid you farewell by saying, as always, in Arabic,
Assalamu alaikum.
In English, peace be upon you.
اكتب صوت لا يعود لي ابدا بالنفع لا يعود لي ابدا بالخير لا يعود لي دون اي شك انا مالا رحت وعديت رحت وعديت دون اي شك لا يعود الانسان كما كان بعمر احلي لانه غاد ما بكاش في حدا ولا اليوم مش شايف حدا اكفر بقانون الانسان محتار بسال اي حدا وانا بسال فيك بوس بيدك بوس مانيك دون اي شك لا يعود الانسان كما كان بعمر احلي
Make Music Madison is back on June 21st for the 13th annual day of free outdoor live music across the city. Here's how you can get involved. Online registration for musicians to participate and venues to schedule events is open through June 1st at makemusicmadison.org. All genres and styles of music are welcome, and there are no age limits or skill levels required. The Make Music Madison website is used to match artists who need a stage with venues who seek performers. At noon on June 20th, matchmaking ends and all shows must be confirmed in the system. Again, advance registration for venues and musicians at makemusicmadison.org closes at 11:59 p.m. on Sunday, June 1st.